The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to week 13. Hopefully 13 is a lucky number for us four. We have not had a losing week yet. K4wins.com, K4wins.com to get all of our plays. Kai Gregory, of course, the man's been playing both sides for a long period of time, for 40 years. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to handicapping. Case Kiefer, the Las Vegas Sun, chief editor out there. He's been on fire in college hoops. We'll talk about that. Kip Kiefer, of course, his old man doing quite the job with the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, and of course also has the starting lineup, a show that I'm very, very proud to be part of, and he's all over the place. He's almost the Howard Stern of Birmingham. He's like on every single medium out there. You're almost the Ryan Seacrest of the K4Wins family here. And of course, I'm Tony Curry, sports radio for 30, 40 years, worked at ESPN and everything else. Before we jump in, Kai, you gave me some numbers before we started. First of all, our college hoops, and then we'll get into some college football. What you got?
Yeah, well, I think we scared everybody last Saturday with a 7-7 day, our first, you know, non-winning day, but then we bounced back Sunday with an 8-2 day, go 15-9 on the weekend. And talk about killing college basketball so far, you know, props to Case. You know, I wanted to go two ways last night. He got me off of those two onto the other side, and they both won. We were 11-1 yesterday.
Wow. Holy cow. Wow.
College basketball, college football, NFL, you know, hockey, in college basketball so far, 15-3. We haven't played a lot of games, but 15-3. So far in college basketball, and overall 266, 143-12. So still 64.3%. But when you have 11-1 days, it's really easy to keep that percentage up.
$100 player is up over 11 grand. Just saying. I mean, that's mincemeat. That's pretty good stuff. It is a really interesting weekend. We're 7-7 last week, and we mentioned that the first third of the season is when the better wins. Middle third, you'd break even last third. And I thought, you know, I think Case is really good at this. Obviously, the more numbers you have, the better you get, but the lines do get incredibly tight. And that's maybe why we had a 7-7 week. But I also think that when you have less games to look at and some bigger lines, there's a lot of opportunity there. And we'll talk about that. It's a spoiler weekend. It's a cupcake weekend. We got three teams that are favored in the 40s, Clemson, Georgia, and Tennessee. And then it's a don't slip up weekend too. A lot of teams vying for one of those 12 positions in the CFP. Let's just start right here, Case. What sticks out to you? We got the Ohio State Indiana game, which is obviously a monster game before a big rivalry weekend, Iron Bowl and Michigan Ohio State next weekend. But you got Tennessee, Vandy. We got some really interesting games coming up in the next couple of weeks. What are you looking at?
I guess big picture and thoughts, I kind of agree with you. I had a really good week last week. I think I probably got lucky. Just everything I gave out on the show, I feel like turned to gold. But I'd say traditionally, especially the last 5 years or so, just anecdotally, I haven't looked at it, but I feel like this last week of the regular season and the second to last week are usually my worst. I feel like the market's really set into place now. I feel like it changes going into bowls, because I feel like bowls, you're rewarded the harder you work. If you're digging for the information to find out who's playing and, figuring out what team's going to play back to kind of their mean, I feel like bowls are a whole different. But it's tough this time of year. And, man, this week, you look at the lines, I just can't believe there's not a lot that's moved. That just shows you, once we have these data on these teams, a lot of people are betting off the same things. Most of these big games have stayed pretty stagnant, a lot different than just like a month ago, whereas like every game you brought up, I'm like, oh, here's where the money's coming in. I feel like a lot this week won't be that way. A little bit of Indiana money, I guess. I think to me, that's the biggest game, Indiana, mm-hmm. Ohio State. And
you got that at 10 now? Is it down to 10?
Yeah, there's some 10. I only see 110, mostly 10.5. Yeah. I lean that way too. I did not bet this game. I feel like I'm repeating myself from what I said on the starting lineup, but I don't usually go this basic with my handicapping. But how many people tell you that? I hear this all the time. People say, I want to back the better coach and the better quarterback. Who has the better coach and better quarterback in this matchup? To me, it's Indiana, hands down. Who's healthier? Ohio State lost their third starting lineman this week. And everyone's going to say, oh, Indiana ain't played nobody. I'm so sick of hearing the not played anybody argument. Let's look at the three teams they played in common. Indiana beat all of them worse than Ohio State did. I expect Ohio State to win. But I think people that are just saying this is going to be Indiana's going to get run over by a train. I think there's a much better chance this is a close game than a blowout.
First time Indiana's been an underdog all season long. Of course, they're a perfect ATS on the road this year. But Ohio State 30-0-1, the last 31 against Indiana. This is only the 15th time, by the way, the 15th time that a top five team has been a double digit dog. Do you know what that record is in the first 14 games, guys, against the spread?
You already told me, so I can't answer.
It is 4-10. So double digit dogs. If you're top five, you usually get lambasted. And I'm sure Ohio State will be trying to put the wood down. Real quick, Case, before we start going around the horn too, I always think it's interesting. I was looking at some numbers this morning and I found only one game where it appears that 100% of the money is going on one team. I think it's only happened a couple times all season long. And right now, 100% of the money is going on Rice minus the 6.5 against UAB. Do you look at the amount of money going on a team, or do you look at the number of bets going on a team when you're looking at steam?
I think this is a really good thing to talk about, so that we could use the whole time. So I'll try to be short with it. My advice would be to look at absolutely none of it. Number one, I don't believe those numbers. We're trusting these sports books that they're putting out totally accurate information, which makes no sense to me. Number two, a lot of them, that doesn't really work with this game since the number hasn't moved, but a lot of times you'll see like, oh, 99% of the money's on this side. Well, yeah, okay, everyone bet that when it was -6.5, now it's 7.5. Yep. So number one, I don't know about the validity of it. And number two, there's just so much here. I lost my train of thought, but I would say, I think too much is put into this. The biggest thing to watch is just, you know, where the line moves, when it moves, and you can kind of go from there of why it's moving.
Kip Kiefer, let's jump into the SEC. Alabama on the road at Oklahoma. You talked about on the starting lineup as we record our show Saturday mornings, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. At the beginning of the season, this looked like a very entertaining game. Has it kind of turned a little bit? Now does it look like a little dangerous spot for Alabama?
Well, any SEC road game is a dangerous spot. And, you know, I know I lean way too much on historic precedents and things I've seen, but this time of year, I'm actually probably better than the other times when it's more analytics and data, because I think I really take the pressure quotient into consideration. And there are teams that have to win these games to stay alive. And there's other teams that, you know, it doesn't matter. So you wonder if you factor all those things together. Sometimes the team that has nothing to play for doesn't play, and it goes the way it logically figures. But a lot of the times you see teams that have had a rough year last week, I should say. I know that I think we had a pretty good consensus of Kansas over BYU. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of pointed in that direction. It was a great example of a team that had all the weight of the world on their shoulders against a team that's had a disappointing year and is trying to prove a point now. And I think you get a lot of those kind of matchups, and this is sort of that way. Alabama, if they play the kind of disciplined, grind it out, not make any mistakes game they made it. They played at LSU 2 weeks ago. I think this will be an easy game for them, but I think Oklahoma will come with their best effort. They still got a credible defense. Jackson Arnold's a disaster in the Oklahoma offense, but are we going to see the Alabama team that handled their business that way, or the one that melted down earlier this year in games at Vanderbilt in Tennessee? If Alabama shows any cracks and turns the ball over a couple times to that defense, like Tennessee did, of course, Oklahoma's offense in that Tennessee game gave the ball in two consecutive plays right back to them on the very next play. So, but if Alabama makes those mistakes, Oklahoma could stay in this game. I wouldn't touch this game because I think it's just a half to win for Alabama, of course. And I think it's a fairly dangerous spot.
You talk about the anxiety in some of these games. A lot of people try to find those teams that are showing up at bowl games just for the free trip, not to play ball. And then you look at someone like Oklahoma State this weekend, they're 3-7. They got nothing to play for, but it is senior day. Do they show up against Texas Tech? Kyle, let's go back to the Alabama game. 13.5. It's under that 14. What do you think they do on the road against the Sooners?
You know, I agree with Kip pretty much the whole way. And, you know, it's a game that I stay away from. And one of the best, you know, advice I think that we can give to bettors out there is, you know, you don't have to bet every game. I know Case does, but you don't have to bet every
not
game.
This one.
And when you look at that game, it's at night in Oklahoma. Which Alabama team is going to show up? Which Oklahoma team is going to show up? You know, is Barnes, the running back, going to play? Like last week, we all really liked South Carolina, but we thought Cook was going to be out. And, well, the running back is going to be out. Well, both played, and both played really well for Missouri. So that changes things. So, again, I would tell people, especially if you're questioning it, I would wait, you know, till 2 minutes before game time, see who's out there. You know, look at ESPN, you know, get Pete Thamel's, you know, breaking updates that he gives, I guess. But, you know, there as to who's playing, who's not, look at that, because I think the Oklahoma defense is playing well enough to keep it within 14 or 14 and a half if you have that. But I can see Alabama winning by 28. I can see a way that Oklahoma could win the game. And Alabama needs to make a statement in that game. Go in, beat Oklahoma worse than Tennessee beat them. If it, you know, coming down anything, you know, or if it, for those little breaks, because, you know, that big win over LSU, I'm not sure that's impressing anybody after what Florida did and then what Vandy may do.
Yeah, Alabama, Vegas getting tired of seeing Bama in there every single year. Of course, it seems like they're every year. And again, right there, when they lost that second game, it was like, here we go, Bama's finally out. Well, they're right there where they need to be again. If they can knock out the next two, they got a good shot.
Yeah, I don't think anyone here minds. I'm sure they drive business just as much as any of the other big programs. I think right now, Alabama, Notre Dame in the playoff, I mean, that would print a ton of tickets. I've had an interesting, too, a sports book here put numbers up on all those games, even though they'll probably never happen like that. Alabama was a 1.5-point favorite. Georgia was a 1.5-point favorite on the road at Penn State and Notre Dame, respectively. Sorry, getting off off track here. But yeah, I got nothing on this game either. I would say if you are a guy that has to bet every game, maybe you're just betting pennies or whatever, I'd probably have to be on Alabama here. I don't trust Oklahoma enough, but I made the number right where it was. It hasn't moved much during the week, so I had no reason to look into it. I didn't even realize Javonte Barnes was questionable. He's a kid from here, so as soon as Kai said that, I'm like, man, is there anyone I could reach out to and get the skinny on this? I don't really think I know many people in his camp, so probably not, but yeah, I don't trust Oklahoma. I saw Jackson Arnold kind of guaranteed a win, right? He said, we're going to win this one for the seniors. I don't know. I'd probably be on Alabama if I had to pick it, but I highly doubt that I will. I made it 13.5. Looks like mostly 13.5 right now. I'd probably need to drop to like 10 or 10.5 for me to actually bet Alabama, and that's not going to happen.
Kip, we want to keep a local feel here, so we're going to look at the Auburn Tigers and A&M. We did peek ahead of time a little bit. Texas and Texas A&M, that line about 4.5, kind of a smelly fish. Why are the Longhorns only favored by 4.5 against A&M? It is at A&M, the home of the 13th man. Now they're giving up 2.5 at Jordan-Hare. It seems like every game now is a bowl game for the Auburn Tigers. What you like?
Well, this is a classic spot where Texas A&M's whole year is on the line. Auburn has absolutely nothing to play for. Auburn, it amazes me the reaction from last week from our hardcore Auburn fans. I guess they're just so hungry for anything to be optimistic about. They're actually excited how they beat Louisiana Monroe last week. Will they ever learn? Texas A&M obviously has a lot more on the line, but Auburn has nothing to lose. And I'm telling you, I give Auburn fans credit. They showed up in mass last week for that cupcake game. They roared and cheered the whole game. They're going to be there for the Texas A&M game because these next 2 weeks, Auburn is one of the most prominent teams in the country with this game and then the game at the Iron Bowl next week. So I think this is going to be a hellacious tussle. Auburn has a proclivity, of course, to just throw the game away at the end. I don't think Peyton Thorne has won a big game since he's been down there, but I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of the hype of the Texas A&M game is going to get a big dent in it because I just have the terrible feeling that Auburn is going to win this game. So I'm taking the couple of points and going with the Tigers.
The terrible feeling that the Auburn Tigers may actually win a football game. Kai, what you think?
You know, being from this state and living here 53 years, strange things happen in Jordan-Hare Stadium in November.
Yeah, they do.
November night game in Auburn. I don't trust Hugh Freeze or Peyton Thorne as far as I can throw them. I really like Mike Elko. I think the loss of Moss at running back for A&M
hurts
huge. And I'm not playing the game, but I would play Auburn.
You go to coacheshotseat.com. Hugh Freeze right now is the number 6 coach on the hot seat case. What do you think?
This is not where I thought we'd have the consensus, but here we are, War Eagle. Throw me in that category of hardcore Auburn fans. I feel like I've been betting Auburn like every week down the stretch here, and it's mostly gone well other than that Vanderbilt game. I guess I'll contradict what I said earlier, and it proves I don't usually look at it. I am concerned if you go with the better coach, better quarterback argument, it's Texas A&M by a mile. But just full-fledged roster, I don't think Texas A&M's roster is any better than Auburn's. Auburn's defense has been super underrated. They have some playmakers. I think Hugh Freeze isn't the same anymore, and we know that we've talked on here from the beginning. I think we've nailed it that this team had everything in place except quarterback, and Peyton Thorne was going to hold them back. Maybe he does it again this week, but I just don't see a big difference this team. I don't understand why everyone loves Texas A&M. Can someone like put me in the meeting of who we complain about, who hasn't played anybody or who has no wins? Yeah. There's some teams.
Yeah.
Texas, I feel like, just absolutely curb stomps everyone, and everyone complains they haven't played anyone. Texas A&M, what's their best win? Missouri. And it's like, what a great story. Mike Elko. I'm not very impressed by them either. So maybe I'm wrong here, but I like Auburn outright.
Do you guys realize of the top six teams in the SEC that are in first and second place with one or two losses, Texas A&M of the other five, of course, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, and who am I forgetting? Anyway, Ole Miss. So of those six teams, Texas A&M has played exactly zero of them. Georgia has played four of them. Yeah. So that tells you right there, Texas A&M, like Texas, has just been able to pick from the bottom feeders of the SEC. I'm really thinking Auburn's going to win this game.
Well, and it's kind of tell you where they're at too. They're 8-2, which is a respectable record, but they are 3-7 against the spread. So they're not outperforming their number, according to Vegas. There's one other game I want to look at before we start going around the horn. If I had told you going into week 13, and Kai had this, but if I go into week 13 that LSU and Vanderbilt would have the same record when they played each other, what would you have said, Kai?
No chance. I thought Vandy was going to get, you know, we like I said, you know, we're 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, and Vandy hit their
cash the ticket, baby, cash it.
Just like the Florida State undercast, you know, in week three. This game is going to be really interesting. I don't know that I could take only 7.5, but I could definitely take the over in this game. And seeing that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I kind of, you know, just threw it in there at the end, you know, it being at night in Baton Rouge, you got to give LSU something, you know, for that. But I like the over 53.
And of course, Vanderbilt already bowl eligible. I would assume obviously between 6 and 7 wins would be huge for that program. Kip, what do you think?
Well, what I saw on the sidelines at the end of the Florida game was very disturbing if you're an LSU person. Brian Kelly was in a stomping tirade yelling at Nussmeier when he came off. Some people on social media have red lips. Mm-hmm. It's not recorded, but a lot of F-bombs.
Hard to believe he was a Notre Dame coach at one point.
Yeah, kind of shocking. His body language when they're down the stretch and games they're losing, he stands off by himself with his arms folded like he's disgusted at some kind of a show that he doesn't want to be at. And apparently he kind of blew up at the end. This team may be completely gone now because, you know, he said last week, well, they still got plenty to play for. The pride of preparation and the love of the university. Well, how did that go in Gainesville last week? I just think this team is soulless and lost. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if they struggle in this game because I think he might have completely lost these players.
Case, one of those teams that it's been really hard to put your finger on, LSU this year.
Yeah, I hate, but I'm kind of the direct opposite of Kip on this one. Look, I could be totally wrong, but this is just this is kind of a sticking point for me in my experiences. I feel like this time of the year, everyone wants to jump on, this team has quit. And then we see it in the betting market. I mean, I think it is really hard to give a statistical justification of how LSU couldn't be like at least a 13-point favorite at home against Vanderbilt with the talent they have. And then, you know, now I've heard so many people say, this quit, this team isn't going to try. And sometimes people are right, but I feel like there's a confirmation bias with that, where I feel like 75% of the time we see a rally and it's not really the same. I just, you know, numbers wise, it's so hard to get all the way down to 7.5. I mean, if they quit on the season,
that's too low.
Is it worth 6 points is what I would have it worth? And I don't think so. I mean, LSU still has got a bunch of guys that want to play at the next level. They're playing for their draft stock. And now at the current day and age of college football, there's a lot of guys that are auditioning for their next job, for their next NIL.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, very true.
I don't know. It's a hard sell for me when, the reason for a line movement is quitting. And again, I could be wrong. It happens sometimes, but I feel like most of the time when there's this huge correction for a team quitting, I'm willing to kind of try to buy at the bottom, which I did here, and I bet LSU minus 7.5.
As of
let me clarify, yeah. Tony, this game is not on my list.
There you go. As of right now, it appears that Brian Kelly will have more players transferring out than transferring in, and that's
and they lost LSU. They lost the five-star recruit, the next Patrick Mahomes recruit this week. Michigan outbid them. I guess Michigan ponied up like $20 million, and Underwood, the five-star prospect, has bolted the course.
There you go. Kip, let's stick it with you, man. Look around the board and give me your best bets for the weekend.
Well, I know right away, let's get the Case and Kip disputes out of the way, because I know he's on the other side here. But I talked about the syndrome of a team having to win and to continue. SMU is at Virginia. Virginia's catching 9.5. Virginia cashed for me 2 weeks ago when I insisted that they were going to go in and beat Pittsburgh outright, and that happened. Last week, Virginia got clobbered by Notre Dame. But I watched a lot of the SMU-Boston College game last week, and I saw a team that I thought was maybe playing a little bit, feeling the pressure. SMU just kind of had a happy-go-lucky start to the year. They're rolling right along, but things got a real here at the end of the season. They got a win to progress. They're high in the rankings, but I like Virginia at home. I think they're a credible team. I think SMU will win the game, but I'm taking the 9.5 points there. I'm not a fan of Texas. I think Texas had played the most fortuitous schedule in the history of the world. I didn't think they looked very good last week at Arkansas and just kind of methodically winning 20-10. They host Kentucky, a team that has nothing to play for. I don't think Kentucky is as good as they were earlier in the year. But they're getting 20.5 points, and I don't remember a 20-plus dog all year, except maybe Texas over Florida. And Florida started that quarterback that was 18 or 19 years old, a transfer from Yale, walk-on, give me a break. I think Kentucky's got enough pride where they're going to show up here and keep this game competitive. I remember the game in Knoxville a couple weeks ago. Tennessee really had license to blow them out, and Kentucky kind of hung in there and covered. I think it's going to be a similar thing here, so give me the Wildcats there, as Texas is also in that mode of having to win. Let's see. I've also got in the game. Talk about rivalry games. The game is what they call it. It has not been the game ever, and it certainly is not now. But Stanford and California are playing. Wow. I don't think John Elway is going to show up to lead a touchdown winning drive, only to be smited by the California famous play in college football history. Stanford actually had a real nice win last week, completely unexpected, I guess, against Louisville. They play Cal. Cal's given a lot of points. It's a big rivalry game. I like Stanford in the points here, which is another kind of bizarre pick, but that's just the kind of mind that I have. And my other one, Tony, I'm getting on one of your teams. I'm impressed with what Air Force is doing. You were all over them last week against Oregon State. They beat them handily. They go to Nevada, who and Case is the Mountain West guy, so he might tell me I'm completely full of it here too, but I actually like Air Force again in this spot. I think they're playing like Air Force plays after a bad start to the season. And real quick, I like another big rivalry game, USC. I think they're better than UCLA. And I think that was the last one on my list. Let's see. You've already heard enough from me. So let's just, I will say too, and on Kai's point, this will be my last one. Wait till game time. If Drew Pine is going to start for Missouri, take the Bulldogs of Mississippi State in the 7.5. Drew Pine is the worst quarterback in America.
There's Kip Kiefer, your anti-Cook man of the last 4 or 5 weeks. Case, you've heard what your old man just said. How many times are you on the other side this week?
I think the first four, but we were in agreement the last two. So, I was about to say the earth is back on its axis, but I am on Air Force. That was one of my bigger bets earlier in the week, +4. At 3, it'd be a little bit smaller, but man, they're really trending up and looking good. And then the most recent bet I made was actually USC. I will say there's kind of a weird thing going around right now. The entire team is really sick. They've like barely practiced this week. So it's tough to quantify things like that. I don't know if you've been there, but if they're healthy by Saturday, I think they're a lot better than UCLA. But I am on the other side of every other one. I mean, I bet Cal every week, so that's no surprise. But I think Stanford, I have an over Stanford win total, so it would be okay if they won this game, but they have San Jose State next week. So hopefully they get that one. But I can't believe they beat Louisville last week. I mean, Ashton Daniels
came from behind and beat
them.
Yeah. I mean, they have a pretty amazing quarterback that can, you know, come back and make things happen, but the rest of their roster is just pretty gross. See, I like Cal on that one. SMU, you know, honestly, I gave it out on the starting lineup. That was just because I was trying to hit every conference. Not one of my bigger plays, but I do like SMU. To me, we talked about another game waiting till kickoff. If you like Virginia, I would wait to make sure Anthony Calandria is going to play early in the week.
Yeah, that's the key.
When I bet SMU, it looked like he was going to be benched. They were going to go with the other kid, the Musket. But now it says they'll play Calandria if he's healthy. And he's high variance. I mean, if he plays, you could get blown out because you throw a bunch of picks. But he also can have some explosive plays. I just thought, I mean, they got so beat down by Notre Dame last week. I know the score doesn't look like it, 35-14. And I know this well because I was watching it and was laying the points with Notre Dame. Notre Dame just quit playing at the end. I mean, pulled their starters, were getting ready for Army, let Virginia score, I think, with like 15 seconds left. A total backdoor cover. I mean, Virginia had like no first downs, basically, the first three quarters. So I think they're trending downwards. And, you know, this is the kind of thing I usually don't put too much into, but I do think SMU's had two other really bad games this year. What did they do the week after they had those bad games? They put up like an average of 50 points, just absolutely killed whoever they played. So I feel like last week was kind of the wake-up call for them, and they will be much sharper. And I don't think Virginia can keep up there. But again, not one of my bigger bets. So yeah, I think if Kip gave out six, we're aligned on two and different on four. There
so you go. Must like Texas. Are you giving three touchdowns?
Yeah, I like Tech. I mean, I've been on Tech. This is another team I've done every week. I guess they had a weird mid-game lull against Arkansas, but otherwise, I mean, they were so much better. And
They had the ball the whole time.
Yeah, so interesting. Something we've talked about on the show, just a funny aside. I think Britt McMurphy said earlier this week in his experience, like 90% of coaches know the point spread. I feel like you can always tell that at the end of games now. People are pushing points. What is Sark doing? Sark doesn't care about the boosters. They're just running out of time. They kneel. They could have kicked the field goal easily to cover. So Texas had no care in the world to cover that game. I felt like I bet it perfectly. I said on the show last week, I'd only bet it if I got to 10. Got down to 10.5. I said, okay, I'll bet it. Close 13. I'm feeling great. And Texas just has no urgency to, they just don't care about style points. So I don't know. I'm hitching myself to the Texas train. I still am high on this team. I might be the only one, but we'll see. I bet them a little bit this week.
Gene Stallings is 92-93 season when they won the national title against Miami. 3-8 against the spread. That was the one thing they were undefeated, but everyone's so pissed off because they lost money on them every single week. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and go next. I'm going to go against Notre Dame as well. I like Army plus the 14 on the hook there. I know they rolled Navy last weekend, Notre Dame did, but they had 6 turnovers, banged up quarterback. Now you're getting more of a triple option team with Army. I think they run a better triple option than the Navy does. Since 2005, Service Academy's catching 2 or more touchdowns or 44-26 against the spread. I'll take Army plus the 14.5. I'm back on Kansas. Normally after they win outright, I'm kind of like, I'm not so sure, but I like them plus the 3. I think they derail Deion Sanders in Colorado. The 6 teams Colorado hasn't beaten this year, 16-26 overall. Kansas is 2-1 against 3 of the top 4 teams in the league the last 3 weeks. Lance Leopold, 17-7 and 1 against the spread as a home dog. And after starting 1-5, Kansas actually has a chance to go to a bowl game this year. I'm also going to look at Minnesota and Penn State. PJ Fleck is 11-5 against the spread when his team has 10 or more days to prepare. He's had that. Transfer Max Brosmer took over a quarterback. Since he's taken over, Minnesota ranks 113th in rushing the football in propensity times. That is the percentage of times they actually run the football. You know why? Because Brosmer's throwing the football all over the place. He's getting better and better every single week. You got 2 elite defenses. You got 2 teams that don't give up monster plays. I like Minnesota plus the 12.5. You get it 13, buy it to 14. And then I'm going to go with Bill O'Brien, his first season at Boston College. He gets a victory. He will be going bowling. North Carolina has played better, but they did against Virginia, Wake Forest, and FSU. They had the week off and the bye week. Not a good time for a bye week for this team because they just started flipping around. And, of course, Mack Brown 5-11 ATS as a road favorite in league play. And, again, and Bill O'Brien is eligible for his first bowl game and a winner. So give me Boston College plus the 2.5. I'm also looking at the Ohio State-Indiana game. I know everyone wants us to pick this game because it is the biggest game of the weekend. I cannot believe that Ohio State is 30-0-1. That's just crazy. The last 31 games against Indiana, and I can't believe they're only giving up 10 points. I'm going to have to hedge and go Ohio State. I think Ryan right now, odds on, he's got the lowest odds to win a national title, 3-1. Indiana's 25-1 if you wanted to bite on the NC, the natty for Indiana. Both teams obviously have to win this ball game, and I don't think Ryan's going to be looking ahead to Michigan this year. I think he gets it done against Indiana. I'm going to take Ohio State minus the 10. Kai, what you like?
I like Kirk Cignetti. I like the way he started. I'll tell you that. Yeah. As far as that game, I think he's going to build something there. They've given him the money. There, Indiana's investing. Never thought I would hear myself say Indiana is investing money in football, not basketball, and football. So if I played that game, but I'm not, I would probably take Indiana. Just imagine the chaos if Indiana was to beat Ohio State, give them that loss, where that would put Ohio State. In that, I know y'all all liked Kansas last week. I was BYU. And I liked the over. That was a horrible play. I like the over in that Colorado game. I really do. I know Kansas has a couple of good DBs, but I kind of like the over. I like Colorado's team total over. I probably won't play the game. I think Tennessee has to make a statement this weekend. And I think Heupel will. I like their over 48, for a team total, there. And I'm not sure UTEP. I mean, UTEP has a pretty decent offense. I'm just not sure they're going to score. So I don't know how I would go there. I would probably lay the 40. I would probably lay the 42 with Georgia, as crazy as that sounds, and liking them. But I like a lot of off the cuff games. I don't understand why Western Kentucky opened at 1.5 and now Liberty's 1.5. I know Western Kentucky didn't play well last week, but I think they're going to bounce back. I like James Madison -7 at App State. I like UCF and West Virginia to go over. I'm with y'all on USC. I do like Texas as well. There's some others. We haven't even really talked about Ole Miss and Florida. Harris is coming back for Ole Miss. Florida's feeling really good about themselves. But what they did last week against that team, they're going to see a different Ole Miss team that's kind of fired up. I'm real close to laying that 12, but it's – Florida's still missing their top three cornerbacks. So let's see. I'm with you on SMU in a game that just befuddles me. I don't understand why Rutgers is favored over Illinois. Just don't understand that. But somebody must be smarter than me and know something because, I just don't understand it. If Brady Cook plays, Missouri -8 all day and over their team total.
Go K4wins.com. K4wins.com. You get just a ton of picks here, probably 20 picks. You can go and make your own disclaimer. A lot of people like to have their own picks and like to see if we're actually on board. But you play our picks, man, you're up about $11,000 on $100 better over the year. So you're doing fantastic. Check out all of our plays. K4wins.com. K4wins.com. We'll be back again next weekend, the day after Thanksgiving on Friday. I'm assuming, I have not checked with you guys, but I'm assuming we're all good for next Friday. It's going to be a monster weekend. And of course, now, Mama does doesn't mind daddy bet. She doesn't like when daddy loses. All right. So make sure that you keep the purse strings together. Listen to the show, K4wins.com. You get the podcast on Tony Curry Radio every single week. We got thousands of listeners every single week. You can podcast awards available on podcast on our YouTube channel, Tony Curry Radio. Get it done and make some money here just in time for Christmas. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Tony, thank you.
Thanks.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.